Well, please open your Bibles with me to the New Testament. Please find the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 24. And this morning, we're going to base ourselves at verses 1 through 9. Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 through 9. And as we get ready to listen to the Word of God, how do we hide a nasty smell? Now, for some of the men listening to this, we might be familiar with the idea of a shower in a can. We use a lot of deodorant or spray to hide the fact that we smell because we haven't had time to wash. At other times, we open a window to ease that nasty smell of a fried breakfast burnt to bits in a pan. And meanwhile, some of a certain age might still be wedded to Glade Shake and Vac as a way of removing a nasty carpet smell. And as we consider these realities, as we think about spraying on lots of deodorant to our clothing, opening a window at breakfast time and using something on our carpet to remove a nasty smell, we know that if we take this seriously, we'll always be trying to hide life's nasty smells. And as we get closer to our text for this morning, as we go back 2,000 years to the city of Jerusalem, we're going to meet a small group of women who share the same concerns that we do. The women are keen to curtail or lessen a nasty smell. With the warmth of the Middle East in mind, and with embalming not practiced by the Jews, the women are keen to ease the smell associated with a decomposing body. They are keen to anoint Jesus' body. That's Jesus who died on a Roman cross 3 days earlier, having paid the price for the sins of his chosen people in anguish, in humiliation, and in blood. However, as we shall see, their efforts to hide a nasty smell are no longer required. Now, by way of background, and for any who might not know, our author Luke was a doctor, and he was also a hard-working evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Bible experts tend to identify Luke as the only non-Jewish author amongst the New Testament writers. And from our earlier reading, we can see that we are coming towards the end of Luke's gospel. Luke has given us his account of Jesus' death on the cross and Jesus' burial. And in chapter 23 and verses 55 to 56, Luke tells us that the women who had followed Jesus from the north of Israel to Jerusalem in the south, these women saw where Jesus was buried. And having prepared their spices and their ointments, they then wait for the Jewish Sabbath to pass. In effect, they wait for Saturday to become Sunday. And when that happens, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, they head out for Jesus' tomb. And we can see this at the start of chapter 24 and verse 1. Can you see it in your Bibles? But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And this is the first part of our theme, isn't it? The women are following their cultural tradition. They want to pay their respects to Jesus' body. And in that warm climate, they want to hide that nasty smell associated with death. And as we get into our opening scene, Luke is showing us that the women fully expect to find Jesus in his tomb. However, at verses 2 and 3, the women are met with a surprise. Please follow. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as we land on the first part of verse 4 now, that bit about the women being perplexed or speechless, lost for words, by giving us this detail, Luke is making it clear to his first listeners that the women had truly forgotten Jesus' promises to his disciples. But what do we mean? Well, on three occasions in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells his close followers that he shall be rejected by many, that he will be humiliated, that he will be killed, and on the third day, he will rise from the dead. And Luke chapter 18 and verses 31 to 34 open this for us. Don't turn to that passage, I'll read it to us. Just listen, please. And taking the 12, Jesus said to them, see, pay attention, we are going up to Jerusalem. Lord Jesus Christ is focused and fixed on his Father's plan of salvation for his people. We are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets, it will be accomplished. Praise his name. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, to the Romans. He will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But they understood none of these things, writes Luke. Everything that Jesus was saying to them was hidden from their minds and from their hearts. That veil of unbelief hadn't been taken away. And they did not grasp what he said. And just as the 12 disciples didn't understand what Jesus said to them, but neither did the women. However, and most providentially, two angels from heaven are about to deal with that knowledge gap. We see this in the last part of verse 4 and on into verse 7. Please follow as I read. And behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. So their clothing was really bright and filled with light. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise? And as we momentarily take a step back from the text, while we try not to overlap Easter with Christmas, please go with this for a short moment, because there is something glorious about this, isn't there? What I mean is that just as angels from heaven's throne room tell men from society's margins that the Christ has been born in Bethlehem, so on Resurrection Day, angels from the glory of heaven's courtroom tell women who are also in society's margins that Jesus Christ is alive. And as we transit now to verse 8 and on to verse 9, the women remember. They take in the evidence of their eyes. They listen to the testimony of those messengers from heaven. They start to remember what Christ has taught. And then, wonderfully, the women respond. Verses 8 through 9 with me, please. And they remembered his, that's Jesus' words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And as we consider everything that we've covered so far, so we've proved our theme for this morning. By Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the efforts to hide a nasty smell are no longer needed. Those spices and ointments that would have cost those women in some way, those spices and ointments are redundant. And this is such good news. Not just for those women and those other disciples with whom they share this wonderful news 2,000 years ago. This is good news for you and for me. Because in Jesus Christ, we are given great hope in the face of death. Now, as we think about this subject, a subject that people address or ignore in all sorts of different ways. In 2024, Marie Curie published the findings of a study that reached over 8,000 respondents from across the United Kingdom. And this research on attitudes to dying and death, this research is revealing. I mean, there's loads that we could share from this report, but staying top line, when it came to choosing the three most important personal priorities in the final days of life, there was no consideration given to life after death and eternal judgment. Everything focused on the present. The top three responses were all about being pain-free, being with loved ones, that maintaining dignity and self-respect. And while these things are certainly worthwhile and probably speak for most of us, if not all of us, I am compelled to tell everyone listening to this that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, without being born again in his name by the Spirit, that nasty smell of death remains. Which may sound odd to some, because in comparison with things in ancient Israel, we have today all sorts of technology and processes that help modern societies to slow down deterioration and remove that nasty smell of death. However, God's word is clear. Without a living faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, whether we are buried 6 foot down in that cemetery on the hill, cremated by Woolmer Green somewhere, or composted and made into soil for trees or something, the nasty smell of death remains all around us. When we follow the course of this world, when we live according to the passions of our flesh, the Bible candidly tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. Spiritually speaking, there is a very bad smell around us. Indeed, in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah writes something that opens what we are describing to each other this morning. In Isaiah chapter 65, as the living Lord God expresses his deep disappointment with the rebellious, idolatrous, and faithless Israelites who, spiritually speaking, turn their backs on the Lord's outstretched arms of love and grace. That is, they ignore God's great love and they go their own way because of this hard-heartedness in his people. The living Lord God then describes Israel's sin in this way. He describes it as a stench in his nostrils. The Lord says, these people, these are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. And you know, if we've ever been to a house fire or been to a scene where the fire brigade has done its work, the smell of a fire in that environment, As we breathe it in, it turns our tummies over. It does something strange to our inner parts, to our lungs, and it makes us go, ugh! And that is how the living Lord God is reacting to the sins of his people. The Lord God is intensely disgusted by those who claim to be good, but who are living in ways that are completely opposite to his word, to his laws, to his truth. And whether we like hearing it or not, we are all the same. We are like ancient Israel. We regularly go our own way and we deserve God's wrath for it. But Jesus on the cross and Jesus' resurrection from the dead, well, this gives us amazing hope. Jesus' resurrection gives us the hope to know that this hard life is not the end. Rather, by Jesus' victory over the grave, we know that there is a day coming when we too shall be given by Christ a new body that is free from the trials and the sufferings of this world. And for all who believe in him, we shall live with Jesus and his people in heaven forever. And as we consider what it means to be alive with Christ, as we think about this opportunity to get rid of those things that make us like a bad smell in God's nostrils, do know that this cleanup that we're describing to each other Know this. This cleanup in Christ, it's offered for free. Isn't that wonderful news? Many people try and do things to get rid of that stench of sin. Many people try and do things to earn their position, their place before God. But in Jesus Christ, it's much simpler than that. And it begins with the women we met a few moments ago. Do we remember them? When the women encounter God's messengers by Jesus' grave, the women immediately humble themselves. That strike your heart this morning. They humble themselves before God's messengers. They bow down to the ground. And as we take our instruction from them in this respect, we are to approach God the Savior in the same way. We are to show God the Savior a humble spirit. And as we show our Lord and Savior the reverence he deserves for all that he has done for us, as we rest in Christ's work on the cross to clean us up and take away that bad smell of sin and death that hangs around us, so we confess our sins to God the Savior and we get baptized in the name of God the Savior and we use Jesus' gospel to guide us home to heaven with him. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Friend, will this be you this morning? I hope and pray that it shall be so. That you would know by Christ's grace through the Spirit that washing and that regeneration that sets you on that pathway to new life. The Christ is ready to listen to you. Will you go to him as you are? Finally, to you, Christian, on resurrection morning, what of our faith and conduct in times past and up to the present? In his second letter to the early church in Corinth, the Apostle Paul tells believers who are trusting in the Lord Jesus that on account of the Savior, they are the aroma of their Savior among those who are being saved and also amongst those who are perishing. Paul is talking in descriptive terms. There is, or there should be, something distinct in Christ's people. And as we check ourselves over using Jesus' gospel, as we think about our life for him, our conduct here, our conduct elsewhere, online, offline, what we say, what we write, what we think, what we do, brothers and sisters, is the aroma of Christ's gospel seen and heard by those who are around us? Can our parents see it? Do our colleagues notice it? What about our friends and the body of Christ? And what about the people we don't know? But we pass them in the street. We sit next to them on public transport. We join them in the lift that takes us to our office at work. Can these people detect the aroma of Christ's living gospel in us? When we are aligned with our Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're trusting in Jesus and lined up with his commands, we are pleasing to our Savior. We are like a sweet smelling sacrifice to him. And in this condition, our lives are like a perfume or an aftershave that radiates throughout a room. And so much so, such is the grace of Christ within us, that the saved and the unsaved, they notice the difference. Some might not necessarily enjoy the fact. Some might be left feeling really uncomfortable, but they notice the difference. And they know that there is something godly and righteous going on in our lives. And so, does our neighbour notice the difference? Can our neighbours around us say that there is something of Christ in that church that meets down Fulling Mill Lane? Is the aroma of Christ evident in our lives? Brothers and sisters, if others don't, for whatever reason, notice that sweet-smelling aroma of Christ's gospel in our lives, well, Easter weekend is as good a time as any to ask Jesus to get rid of that nasty smell that started to follow us around. Easter weekend is as good a time as any to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to put to death sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, so that we might, by his grace, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.